Good morning. Good to see you. It's good to be in Kansas. For a number of years, we lived in Kansas City, so the Midwest feels a good bit like home, although we call South Carolina home these days, and I'm sorry that my family couldn't be with me. My name is Ben. My wife's name is Tara. She and I have been married. This summer will be 17 years, and God's given us two children. Our oldest is 13. We have a teenager just from the last few weeks, so pray for us. We're entering that stage of life. That's Clayton. He's a seventh grader. And then our daughter Chloe is seven, and she is in second grade. So they're back in South Carolina, and they're plugged into a Christian school there. That's where my wife's family is from. So our background, I grew up in an evangelist home. A number of you said you've heard my dad preach. I think the pastor said he'd been here a number of years ago with you all, and then been in a number of different churches over the years. And then my wife's parents are Ron and Shelley Hamilton, or Patch the Pirate. So if you're familiar with that, look like you had a Majesty hymnal. And so it sounds like you're familiar with that ministry of music. So that's kind of her upbringing. And we're thankful for the opportunity that the Lord has given us. We traveled full-time itinerantly for about 10 years. Out of college and seminary, and then one of the churches we had been in on a number of occasions was in Indianapolis, Indiana, Colonial Hills Baptist. And so for the last 5 years, I served as an associate pastor there. And then about a year or so ago, our father-in-law, Patch, was diagnosed with dementia. Some of you have known about that. So we were praying about how we could get back down to the Carolinas and be near family to try to be a help to them. And so the Lord opened up an opportunity for me to be a representative for Bob Jones University, where I graduated from with an undergrad. And so I travel for them. I wear several hats. So I wear a university representative hat. I wear an evangelist hat. And I wear a hat with Majesty Music doing some things from time to time. Most all of those keep me on the road. So I left South Carolina on Thursday, and I've kind of been coast to coast here the last little bit. So I'm trying to figure out what time zone I'm in. I left early Thursday morning, and they sent me to get to Denver for a youth conference that was out in Estes Park for the last few days. They sent me to Atlanta, and then to Washington, and then to Denver. So that was kind of a long way to get there. And then yesterday to get here, they sent me to Las Vegas and back. I've never been to Vegas, but I was only there for about a half an hour and couldn't get into too much trouble. And then into Wichita here. So we've kind of been coast to coast, but we were up in the Rocky Mountain National Forest there for a few days with a good group of teenagers and enjoyed that. We got to know your pastor, I think, on a couple of different occasions. There have been some pastors' meetings that have been held. I preached down at Meridian and Newton, and then we were out at Camp Challenge. Some of the teens say, oh, I recognize you. We were there a couple of years ago and had a chance to drive out from Indianapolis and brought my son with that, and we had an enjoyable week getting to know some of the young people that way. And then we were able to line up this meeting. We've been looking forward to being with you for the next several days and excited to join forces with you for the glory of God. Pastor was filling me in a little bit on your history and what God is doing, and even some new additions that are going on here in remodeling. And so we're excited about what God is doing right here at Wheatland. So it's our privilege to join forces with you for the next few days. Now, we're here this morning and tonight and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And I'll tell you what happens with these Sunday to Wednesday meetings. You kind of blink and they're gone. They go very, very quickly. A lot of anticipation and work that goes into organizing it and getting it into place. And then Wednesday night rolls around very, very quickly. I don't know if anybody watched some of the Final Four. Thankfully, Southwest had Wi-Fi on the plane, so I could watch some of that on the way there and back yesterday. But any team that goes very far, and I was disappointed. I'm a Carolina fan, so they got knocked out a little bit ago. So, and they're on to the final two here for Monday night, I think. But any ball team that goes any distance in sports, they have to work as a team. It's usually not just an individual thing, but there's got to be unity on that team. Everybody's got to be doing their job and working in harmony together for a common goal. You know, a whole lot better than cutting down nets and raising a trophy is when God's people work in unity for the glory of God. We have a chance to do that this week, and God gets glory when our lives change to be like Christ, and when we're able to be the instruments of sharing Christ with others around us that need to hear the good news that Jesus saves. So we're excited to come and just partner with you for the next several days for the glory of God. You say, well, how can we all be a good team player? Can I give you kind of the pre-sermon to the sermon here this morning? That'd be all right. In a minute, we're going to go to Luke chapter 8 will be our text. But all of us can be a good team player, first of all, if you'll be involved. You know, all of us can do that. You're here this morning. You made it through the fog, so thanks for getting up on a Sunday morning and being here for Sunday school. Trust you'll be back for the morning service and be back tonight at 6, and then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7 o'clock. You can be involved. Did you know that you're really more important to the meeting than I am? I'm privileged to be here and excited about it. But if somehow I got sick and lost my voice and couldn't preach, Pastor would, somebody would be sharing the gospel. But if we're here all week long and you're not, it doesn't do a whole lot of good to talk to empty pews. So you're really more important than we are to this. And all of us have a way that we can be involved. There are some that are teaching Sunday school this morning, some that will help them with the young people. There are some that are helping with ushering, and it sounds like you got the loaves and fishes ministry this afternoon. There's all kinds of ways you can be involved in ministry. So minimally, that means being in your place. Now, I understand that weeknights can be a challenge with school and work and all those different things. We never try to put anybody on a guilt trip. If you work second shift, we're glad you have a job. We understand why you wouldn't be here. If you work third shift, we'll be out way before that, so come be with us. If you've got to be out of town and the boss says, again, we're thankful you've got work. But if you can be here, man, we'd love to have you participate and be involved in the meeting this week. We're really only asking you for two additional nights above and beyond what's on your usual church calendar, right? Normally you got Sunday services and a Wednesday night. We're asking for Monday and Tuesday as well. We've had people say, you know, my job takes me right up to the 7 o'clock hour. That's all right. You can come even in work clothes if you need to, if you smell, sit in the lobby, but you know, come on in and we'll be glad to have you there. And we're aware it's a weeknight, and we'll try to keep things time conscious so you can get back and homework and kids ready for school and whatever else has to be done there. But you honor the Lord, He'll honor you this week, and we're encouraging you to be involved. I've learned something over the years, and that is we tend to do what we want to do. You ever notice that? If something is important to you, if it's a priority to you, you'll find a way to make it happen. For some, it's sports. A man, they're trying to get to Minneapolis. You know, they want to be up there to watch the big game. I know the Kansas Speedway's out here not too far away. And some, they love to watch cars go round and round and round and round. If that moves your meters, man, great. You know, they'll take time, energy, money, all kinds of things so they can be a part of something like that. If it's something that's a priority to you, you'll clear your calendar to figure out how to get there. Hey, I trust this week will be a priority to you and that you'll work diligently to be here, and thank you for your participation that way. Be involved. All of us can do that. Secondly, be inviting. All of us can do that as well. I saw some flyers in the back. You got a bulletin, and then they've got an invite sheet there that you can hand out to a neighbor and a coworker or a relative in the area and say, hey, we're having special meetings this week at Wheatland. Would you be my guest? And you invite others to be here. People bring people to Jesus. And I'll make you this promise. The gospel will be in every message. If you've got a guest coming this morning or tonight or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, we don't want anybody to come and go without hearing of the grace of God provided through the Lord Jesus Christ and the gift of salvation. So if you've got a guest that's coming that's unchurched, unsaved, they will hear the gospel message. We always share with believers as well to help us in our Christian walk. And so we want to give something for you that'll be a help to you, but also want to make sure that the gospel is clearly presented for those that may be here that are without Christ. So invite a guest. I'm new in town. My first time to my knowledge. Okay, I got to get it right. It's not McPherson, right? It's McPherson. See, pastor's telling me. They can tell you're not a local if you got no fear in McPherson. Okay, so I got it there. So I'm new in town here, and I'll try to invite some that I may meet throughout the week. But the best invitations come from you inviting others that you know in this local community to be here. Would you be my guest? Hey, we've had teenagers that have done that. We had one young man in a meeting a number of years ago. He had a burden for his next dorm neighbor, a man that was in his 60s, and he went and invited him. So we got revival meetings coming up. Would you be my guest? Fella said he would be there Sunday morning, didn't show up. Sunday afternoon, though, the teenager's back over there knocking on the door. Hey, you missed a blessing this morning, but we've got a service tonight. Would you be my guest? Well, if nothing happens. You ever heard that excuse? Something always seems to happen. I'm not sure how that is, but it just works that way. He didn't show up Sunday night, Monday after school. Hey, we've got a service tonight. Would you be my guest? Well, we'll see. He didn't show up Monday night, Tuesday. Guess who came to church Tuesday night? Yeah, his next door neighbor. He was one of the first people to trust Christ that evening. We talked to him afterwards, said, how'd you get here? He said, you know this young man in the church? He kept knocking on my door saying, you got to come to church, you got to come to church. He said, I had to come to church. He was glad that he did. Somebody cared enough about him to be kindly persistent in inviting him to be in a place where he could hear the gospel. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hey, your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, not going to get the gospel sitting at home Monday night watching TV, but they can if you can get them here, where they can hear and understand the good news that Jesus saves. Be involved, be inviting. Third, be interceding. You know, all of us can do that as well. I trust you've already prayed about what God wants to do in your life and in the lives of others that will be here throughout this week. And we ought to do that consistently each day, just saying, Lord, we want to do all that we can, humanly speaking, but we understand it's the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. And we've got to allow God to do that work in our hearts and our lives. That's what we want to talk about a little bit this morning. So we're taking our Bibles and we're going to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, we're going to look at a parable that Jesus gave and how we can prepare our hearts to receive God's word as we meet together today and Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night. So if you'll be a good team player this week, you can do that by being involved, inviting, and interceding, and we'll look forward to seeing what God does in and through us in the days to come. We're in Luke chapter 8, and we're looking at, again, a parable that Jesus gave. And his purpose was to help us to understand how to hear from God, how to have a heart that's ready to receive the word of God. Luke 8 and verse 4, the Bible says, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he, that's Jesus, spake by a parable. Here's the parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Look back at verse 8, key part of what Jesus is teaching. When he finished saying these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We're talking this morning about how to learn to listen to God. You might say, how to get the most out of every message. So let's ask the Lord's help, and we'll look into his word here this morning together. Father, thank you for the day that you've given us. It's a new day. We rejoice, and we are glad in it. Thank you for our friends that have gathered for the Sunday school hour. We pray that our hearts would be open and tender and receptive this week to your word and what your Spirit desires to do in and through us. We pray for guests that will be invited, that you would bring them to this place and that your Spirit and your word would have free course to draw people to yourself. As you're lifted up, you said that you would do just that. So we commit ourselves to you, the days that are before us. We ask that you'd be glorified in how we not only hear, but also practice and do the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you listening to me? You ever had somebody ask you that question? Maybe it was your wife, sir. I know it's possible to look like you're listening and to act like you're listening, and for your mind to be on something completely different. Usually when I do that, my wife is very tuned in. She knows that's going on. It's not just men that can have trouble listening. Ladies can do that. Teenagers sometimes have selective hearing. They kind of hear what they want and discard other things. Kids can be easily distracted. But you know, sadly, many people have never learned how to listen to God. Now, we know that God doesn't speak to us audibly today. Rather, he speaks to us by his Spirit through his word. And here in the parable of the sower or the soils, Jesus, I believe, is teaching his followers of that day and you and me today how to learn to listen to God, how to get the most out of every message. Here's the setting. Jesus has been out teaching and preaching, been doing miracles. And if you read Matthew and Mark, as well as Luke, you get a full picture of what's going on here. There's a huge crowd of people. that have come to see Jesus and hear what he has to say on this particular day. So great is the crowd, they press down on him. They've backed him up to a shoreline. He decides to sit down in a boat where he could allow the shoreline to become a natural amphitheater. Everybody could see and hear him. And he begins to teach. Now, Jesus knew in the crowd of hundreds, potentially thousands of people, there were individuals there for a lot of different reasons. You know, even today, people show up at church for a lot of different reasons. The Lord knew in that crowd, there were some that were there that were just kind of curiosity seekers. Maybe they saw a crowd gathering down by the shoreline and they thought, wonder what that's about. Let's go check it out. Maybe some that were there, it was a way to entertain the family. It's this miracle worker. Let's see what he might do today, you know. Who might he heal? Maybe some were kind of freeloaders. They figured the Lord had taken 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed thousands. Maybe they'll get a free meal out of it, you know. Maybe that's why some were there. Maybe some wanted to try out their new SUD. You say, what's that? That's a sport utility donkey, okay? Maybe they wanted to give that thing a go that day. We don't know exactly why they're there, but the Lord knew some were there with a genuine heart that really wanted to hear what he had to say. So he begins to teach in parables. Now, we define often a parable as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. This is one of the early parables that Jesus gives. And it doesn't just confuse the crowd in general. His own disciples have to come to him and ask, well, what does this mean? And before Jesus gives the meaning, he explains kind of why he gave that parable. He says in verse number 10, unto you, speaking to his disciples, it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. He said, I gave this parable for three reasons. One, I gave it to conceal the message from some. You know, there were those that came that day, heard Jesus teaching, and walked away, thought, why was he talking about farming? That's all they got out of it. It kind of went right over their head. And there was a reason for that. It was one of the ways that Jesus, in his mercy, would spare them from being responsible for the spiritual nature of that. Because sadly, up to this point, he's talked very plainly with the people, but they've, for the most part, rejected his words. So in the latter part of his ministry, he goes to teaching in parables. So it was to be concealed from some, but it was to be revealed to others. He says to his disciples, unto you, it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You know, if the people wanted to know what the parable was about, all they had to do was ask. The disciples said, what does this mean? And Jesus says, the seed is God's word. Here's what the soils represent. So it was to be concealed from some, revealed to others, but it was also given as a fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus is quoting Isaiah when he says that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. And then he goes into explaining what the parable is all about. Now, for our purposes this morning, we want to look at these four different soils. They represent our heart. And we want to learn some lessons from, there's three soils that don't bring forth fruit, bad soil. We want to learn some lessons to avoid being that type of soil. And then we want to learn some lessons from the good soil, how we can cultivate that type of heart to receive God's word and it bring forth fruit in our life. We want to know how to get the most out of every message, how to learn to listen to God. Now, I've read this parable many times in my Christian walk, as no doubt you have. And often I would make the application directly to the unsaved. What would they do with the gospel seed that's been sown into their life? And certainly that's a valid application, but it's interesting to me that Jesus applies this directly to his own disciples. He's talking to them. Unto you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. I think he was trying to get his disciples to learn to listen to God. Again, in verse 8, the Bible says that when Jesus finished saying these things, he cried. The word is in the tense that means he didn't just say this once. He said it over and over and over again. You know what he kept repeating? He that had ears to hear, let him hear. He was trying to get those people to tune in to what God had to say. So, what are these soils and how can we apply this to our life? Well, he begins in verse 5 when he says, a sower went out to sow his seed. You know, when Jesus began this parable, I'm sure that everybody there had seen this done. We're in Kansas. It's like saying, you ever seen farming? Okay, it's around you, right? Now, you don't have to travel probably too far to see someone out in the spring trying to prepare the soil and plant that seed and working on it over the summer to enjoy the harvest in the fall. It's possible people could have looked down the shoreline and seen Jesus, somebody doing exactly what Jesus was talking about at that very moment. Now, we're thankful for the tractor equipment and ways they can mass produce crops today. But in Jesus' day, they had to go out with a satchel of grain, seed, and they'd grab that by the handful and begin to distribute it. The wind would blow. It would fall on different types of soil, Jesus said. He said, as this man sowed, verse 5, some fell on by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. He talks to us, first of all, about the wayside soil. You say, what's that? Well, it's the footpath that people would use to get from one place to another. Now, we're thankful for the road systems that we have, and interstates, and highways, and back roads. But obviously, no automobiles at that time in history. Most people didn't have enough money to buy an animal to ride. Usually, they walked wherever they went. You don't have to go to high school geometry to figure out the quickest way to go from point A to point B is called a straight line. So you can imagine what they did. They would cut right through some of these fields if they needed to get someplace. So soil that maybe once had been tilled up to receive seed would get stepped on, packed down. The sun would bake it. It would harden. It would become much like the concrete sidewalk outside. You can put some grass seed down in the spring and try to grow something on the sidewalk, but you won't have much luck with that. The seed can't put down a root system to bring forth any blade of grass. Jesus said often our hearts are just like that wayside soil. So often we harden our hearts to the truth of God's word that it can't bring forth the fruit that God desires to do that work in our life. In fact, he says in verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. You know, it's possible for us as believers to become calloused to the truth of Scripture. If you've been privileged like I to grow up in a Christian home and Christian education and in Sunday school and church, all that's a wonderful opportunity, but it can become just familiar to us. We know the Bible stories, we know the parables, we know these different truths, and it's easy for us when somebody says, hey, turn to such and such a passage, and we're going to look at this portion of Scripture, we kind of tune out because we think, well, I've heard that preached on I don't know how many times. What's he going to say that I haven't already heard? You know what we did when we think that? We've hardened our heart to what God has to say. We've tuned out rather than tuning in, and just like those birds, Satan desires to take that seed of the Word of God right out of our hearts. You know, there are some who've heard the gospel, and yet they have hardened their heart to the truth that Jesus alone saves. Mankind thinks in his pride and his arrogance, there's got to be something I can do so that God will accept me. So they think if I go to church or if I do good works or if I get baptized or if I'm confirmed or if I read Scripture, they think there's just this something I can do to attain that standard that God has set. Yet it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, it's according to his mercy that he saves us. There's a big difference between do and done. Do, that's man's effort to get to God. It'll never work. That's called religion. Done is what Jesus Christ has already accomplished for you and for me. He paid our sin debt, and there is a gift that can be received that we might be born into the family of God, and that's not a religion. That's a relationship with God provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't harden your heart to the truth of the Word of God. No wonder the writer of Hebrews would say, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. There's the wayside soil. Then Jesus talks to us about the stony soil. He says in verse 6, and some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. The problem with the stony soil was that it looked good from the surface, but what you couldn't see was just below that topsoil was bedrock, limestone in that part of the world. The seed would get sown, it would begin to put down that root system, but it would hit that rock, and it couldn't go down any further, so it would start to spring up. And early on, if you were to look across the field, you'd think, boy, that portion of land there, that's going to give me the biggest yield. It's outgrowing everything else. I mean, it just seems to be growing and going big time there. But Jesus said it was going to be short-lived. He said all it took was the heat of the afternoon sun. There wasn't the depth of earth, there wasn't the nutrients, there wasn't the moisture for that plant to be able to really be cultivated to bring forth fruit. It would shrivel up and die. Jesus says that's a lot like the way many Christians receive God's word. He says in verse 13, they on the rock are they which hear. They receive the word with joy, but they have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. You know, a stony soil listener is one, Jesus says, they hear the word of God. In fact, he says they receive it, and he says they receive it with joy. They get excited about it. These are the people that come to church for Sunday school and Sunday morning, and they come in here Bible teaching and preaching, and they get all excited. Yeah, I need to do that. I got to stop that. I need to start this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to change this. And they get all excited about it on Sunday, but by Tuesday, you'd have never known they were in church on Sunday. Because when rubber met road and it got tough, they just threw in the towel and gave up. Now, all of us have had times in our Christian life when we've done that. And there's nothing wrong with our emotions being stirred. The Word of God ought to do that. Sometimes positively, sometimes negatively. But if all we do is simply tune in emotionally to the Word of God, we're going to be an emotional roller coaster through our life. You don't want to do that. You've got to go deeper than that. Jesus warns, don't be a stony soil listener. You know, there are some who have made a profession of faith. They walked an aisle, they signed a card, they prayed a prayer, they shed a tear. If you were to ask them, are you a Christian? Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. But their life shows no evidence of spiritual fruit. They don't have the least bit interest in spiritual things. It's like pulling teeth to get them to come to church. They're not interested in reading their Bible. No interest in Christian fellowship. You know, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. So if nothing's changed about your life, you might have had a religious experience. But friend, you've never genuinely been born again. When God enters a person's life, he begins to produce in them spiritual fruit for the glory of God. Don't be a stony soil listener. Don't be a wayside soil listener. Then Jesus talks to us about the thorny soil. He says in verse 7, some fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And the problem with this soil was it was fertile ground. It was just weed infested. You ever had to pull weeds? We all have. Here's the problem with that. You can get them out of there, that garden bed, that flower bed looks really nice, and 2 days later you can be right back out there doing it again because it's part of sin's curse on the earth. We deal with thorns and thistles and weeds. And Jesus said the seed would get sown, the plant would begin to grow, but it would get choked out, he says, because it had all of these thorns that were there, and he tells us that's a lot like our hearts. Verse 14, those that fell by among the thorns are they which when they hear, they go forth, but they're choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to perfection. These are people whose hearts and minds are so filled and distracted with that which is material and secular that the spiritual fruit that God wants to produce gets choked out. All of us have had times when we do this. We could be sitting in a Sunday service, and God has been speaking to our heart by His Word through His Spirit. And it's coming to the end of the service, and you know you need to do business with the Lord, and yet our mind starts thinking about other things. It's thinking about tomorrow's work schedule, and emails, and phone calls, homework assignments, places you got to go, things you got to do. It can be invitation time when we need to do business with the Lord and respond as God has spoken to our heart and our mind's thinking, we're almost done, it's lunchtime, I'm hungry, I'm going to grab the kids and we're heading down to the restaurant. You know, I mean, we're more concerned about our stomachs than we are feeding our spiritual souls. God says when we do that, we become distracted. We become a thorny soil listeners. You know, there are some who've heard the gospel and they understand that if they get saved, it's going to change their life. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. It's going to change their habits. It probably changed their friends. It's going to change their lifestyle. In essence, they're yielding their life and giving control over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad they understand that much about the gospel, that it's not a 1, 2, 3, pray after me and go right back living the same way you were. God changes us from the inside out. But some people, that hinders them from actually receiving Christ because they don't want that change. They like their friends. They like their habits. They like being chief in charge on the throne of their life. They don't want to yield themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's keeping them from the most important decision they can make. Be receiving Christ for a personal relationship with God. Jesus would say, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world but lose his own soul? What are you going to give in exchange for your soul? You know, friends, finances, fame, success, all that the world has to offer, none of that is worth eternity separated from God. And yet so often Satan is blinded with these things that crowd out the work that God wants to do in our heart. He says, don't be a thorny soil listener. Then finally he talks to us about the good soil. He says in verse 8, other fell on good ground, and it sprang up, and it bare fruit, and 100 full. The word good here means excellent, useful, it's better. It's interesting to me that all four of these soils get the exact same seed. Did you notice that? But there's only one that actually brings forth fruit. You say, what's that have to do with me? Well, you ever sat in a Sunday service and maybe for whatever reason, other things were filling your mind and your heart and the sermon kind of went right over your head and you're heading home for lunch and you're thinking to yourself, I didn't get a whole lot out of that. And then somebody else in the car says, boy, wasn't that a great service today? God really spoke to my heart. You're thinking, did you listen to the same sermon I listened to? I didn't get anything out of that. The difference wasn't the seed, was it? The difference is the soil of the heart. So how can we purpose to be good ground hearers? How can we get the most out of every message? You know, Jesus says of this soil that it brings forth fruit, he said, an hundredfold. Yeah, I'm certain anybody in the crowd that day that did any farming probably thought, what's he talking about, a hundredfold? That's like a 10,000% yield, okay? I think in Jesus' day, if they got a 10-to-1 ratio with their farming, they thought they'd done really, really well. So when he said a hundredfold, he wasn't talking about natural results. He was talking about supernatural results. Did you know that God wants to do something supernatural in your life and in my life? He wants to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Not a one of those is natural. We don't naturally love God with our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength and our neighbor as ourselves. Do you know who we naturally love? Me. So it takes a supernatural work of God in us to bring about this fruit of the Spirit. So how can we cultivate this? How can we be good ground hearers? Well, I told you I enjoy sports. And any good ball team has both a good offense and a good defense, right? If you're going to go very far in NFL or NBA or NCAA or whatever it may be, offense and defense is key. I was cheering on the Chiefs this year, but just didn't quite do it. We're still Chiefs fans, even though we lived in Indianapolis for a few years. I think our roots are back in Kansas City with that. But nonetheless, it takes both offense and defense. So how can we learn some lessons from the bad soil, defensive measures we can take, and from the good soil, some offensive measures that we can put into place so that we can get the most out of every message? Well, first of all, if we're going to hear from God, we have to understand there's a spiritual battle that goes on every time we look into God's Word. You know, Jesus was keenly aware of that. He would talk about that wayside soil and the seed that was sitting right on the surface and how the fowls of the air, the birds, can come and take that away. And then he likens that to Satan himself. He says in verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil. And he taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. You know, I think sometimes as Christians, we theologically agree that Satan exists. But practically, we give him no consideration at all. Now, I'm glad to announce this morning, we don't have to be fearful of the devil. Greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And yet, as a believer, we need to recognize every time we open up God's Word, we enter into a spiritual arena. There is a battle that is going on there. You ever noticed how easy it is to watch a television program? I mean, it's thoughtless. It's effortless, right? That's what they mean, amusement. It's literally without thought, okay? You don't have to say, shh, quiet in the house, I got to concentrate. No, you just kind of crank up the volume. It's easy. Watch a movie, read a book that the world, you just burn right through it. Surf the internet, play video games. It seems so easy, but you get your Bible and you go find the quietest place you can, right? And sit down and start reading, and what happens? It's hard. Why? Well, could it be that the devil doesn't care if you watch TV or a movie or read a book or surf the internet, but he would care that this week there would be some spiritual emphasis days in the life of this church, and you'd be here on a Sunday morning with your Bible open saying, God, I want you to speak to me. You better believe that he doesn't like that, and he's going to do everything in his power to take that seed right out of our hearts and lives. You know, Peter thought that he could handle the devil, and he failed miserably. The Lord even warned him. Satan's desire to have you and to sift you like wheat. Rough old fisherman, he thought, I can handle it. We find him denying Christ, but if you rewind just a little bit, you know where you find him? Peter, James, and John in the middle of the garden there in Gethsemane with the Lord. He says, watch and pray. Do they do it? No. Multiple times the Lord has to awake them from their sleep. Watch and pray. You know, I think one of the reasons Peter failed the way he did, he didn't watch and pray. But I think he learned his lesson. In the latter part of his life, he writes 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. You know what it says? Be sober. Be vigilant. Do you know what those words mean? Be awake. Be alert. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Hey, we've got to go and understand that there's a spiritual battle that goes on every time we look into the Word of God. And then we learn something further. If we're going to hear from God, there's a spiritual battle going on. Sometimes we come to church and we kind of think, you know, it seems harder to get to church on Sunday morning at 9:30 than it does to get to work or school at 8 o'clock on Monday. Why? Spiritual battle going on there, okay? He says, then you got to go deeper than an emotional decision. He talks to us again about that stony soil. They hear it, they receive it with joy, but they don't actually live it out. Now again, nothing wrong with having your emotions stirred, but we've got to go deeper than that. You are mind, will, and emotion. All three of those have to be involved in listening to God. The mind says, I understand it. I'll do my best this week just to open up Scripture and say, here's what God says, here's how you can do that, okay? The mind has to, it's hard to do what you don't understand. So the mind understands it. The emotion says, I feel it. But the will says, by God's grace, I'm going to do it. To be a James 1:22 believer, not just a hearer, but a doer of the Word of God. So there's a spiritual battle going on. Go deeper than just an emotional decision. Then we've got to purposefully eliminate distractions. Jesus tells us about that thorny soil. He says that there's things that take away that seed, they're choked out by cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to perfection. If we're going to hear from God, we've got to remove the competition to what would distract us from hearing from Him. I don't know how it is around your house, but on occasion, my wife would like to have a serious conversation, and she wants my undivided attention. Did you know that when God speaks to us, He wants nothing less than our undivided attention. And he warns us there's a lot of things that can divide our attention. He says cares, riches, pleasures of this life. Say, what are those about? Well, cares is just the mundane things of life, the busyness. We've got lots going. Appointments, schedules, ball practice, rehearsals, all kinds of different responsibilities that, and it's easy for us to get just kind of going 100 miles an hour at that, and we're used to that pace and speed, and then they say, why don't you come to church, sit down, and let's pause and think, and we're kind of going, whoo, my mind's still spinning from everything else that's going on. Hey, we've got to leave all that stuff out in the parking lot and come and say, Lord, I want you to speak to my heart. Could be cares. He says it could be riches. His scripture tells us it's the love of money that's the root of all evil, not money itself. Money's a tool. And yet, Jesus warns that riches can distract us from really hearing what God has to say. I've probably sat in a service and your mind's on financial things. How am I going to pay for this? How's this going to work? I got that bill coming up. I got this kid's doctor's appointment and dentist and whatever else. And you're trying to figure out, how am I going to pay for all this stuff? And our mind can be distracted from what God's trying to speak to us about. He says it could be cares, could be riches. Then he says pleasures of this life. Hey, in case you haven't noticed, we live in an entertainment-driven society. You notice that? And the world knows how to entertain. I mean, they put it up in high def and 4K and blast it and blare it in 3D, and I mean, it just comes at us just one thing after another. And we're used to that pace of things, and then we show up at church and sit down, and somebody says, let's open our Bible and read and think, and we all go, it's kind of hard to do. We've been entertained to death. God says you need to be able to hear and not be distracted by the pleasures of this life. You know, it's not your pastor's job. It's not my job to entertain you. Now, any preacher worth his salt is not trying to be dry and dead and boring. The Word of God is alive. It's applicable for 2019. But it's our responsibility individually to be the right type of hearers. In fact, Jesus ends in verse number 18 when he says, or verse 19, no, 18's right, take heed therefore how you hear. So, we've learned some lessons from the bad soil. Make sure that you understand there's a spiritual battle going on. Go deeper than an emotional decision. Remove the competition from listening to God. And then he talks to us about that good soil. How can we cultivate this? What are some things we can put in place to really hear from God? Verse 15 says, but, he's giving us a contrast. But, that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. This good soil is one that, first of all, has a receptive heart. He says it's just that. It's good. It's good ground. It's different than the wayside soil. Remember what the problem with that was? It's hardened. This soil has been tilled up, ready to receive the seed. It's different than the thorny soil. The thorns and thistles and weeds have been removed so that this seed can take root and bring forth fruit. It's different than the stony soil. It doesn't have just a little bit of topsoil. There's depth of earth that it might have the nutrients so that plant can germinate and cultivate there. This is good soil. Jesus says, if you're going to be one that hears from me, you have to have a receptive heart. Now, you know, when we come to church, most of us, you can come with one of three attitudes. That some people come to church with a negative attitude towards spiritual things. And it kind of baffles me, but they'll show up at every church I've been to. There's usually somebody there, you know. They come faithfully. We're glad you're here for whatever reason you're here, but it's kind of like, I don't want to be here. I don't like this. What are you going to tell me? I hadn't already heard. And then they wonder why every week they seem to come and go and God doesn't speak to their heart. Could it be that you have a negative attitude towards spiritual things? That might be the problem, okay? Now, we're glad that the Word of God can break through that. It can soften that hard heart. It can penetrate and deal with the sin that's in our life. But how much better, instead of coming with a negative attitude, to come with a right attitude towards spiritual things? Most people don't show up with a negative attitude. That would just be a few. Most of us kind of show up with a neutral attitude, right? You show up and we got special services and this guy, I've never met him, and where is he from and what's this about? And you got like a 50-50 chance of getting something, okay? You know how to get something every time? Come with a positive attitude towards spiritual things. Come with a heart that says, God, I want you to speak to me. You know, if you'll do that, it doesn't matter who's preaching or what they're preaching about, you'll get something every single time. Why? You came with a positive attitude towards spiritual things. Have a receptive heart. Secondly, have a responsive heart. Jesus says of this soil, verse 15, it's a good heart, it's honest. It hears the word. Every soil, the Bible says, did that. But the next two words are key. It says it keeps it. Matthew would say that they understood it. Mark says that they accept it. Luke says that they keep it. These are James 1:22 believers. They're not just hearers of the word. They're also doers of it. They get it. They own it. They keep it. They live it. They want to put it into practice for the glory of God. It's the individual that says, God, I want you to speak to me. And Lord, when you speak to me, I am willing to obey. I'm receptive, and I want to be responsive to that. I want to obey and submit myself to your word. So he says, be receptive, be responsive, and finally, we ought to have a resolved heart. He says in the end of the verse, and it brings forth fruit with patience. That Bible word patience, you're probably familiar, means the idea of endurance. You know, if you've done any gardening, and I don't necessarily have green thumbs, but some seem to be able to enjoy the fruit of their labor. It is just that. It takes a lot of work if you're going to enjoy fruit. You don't just open up the back, you know, the kitchen window, packet of seeds, bottle of water, and, you know, come to the end of the summer and, wow, isn't this wonderful? No. You gotta till up that ground. You know, you've got to fertilize it. You've got to plant the seed. You've got to water it. And you've got to take the weeds out of it. You've got to keep the pests and the animals from, you know, stealing all what you're trying to enjoy. If you're going to have the fruit of your labor, it's just that. It takes W-O-R-K work. Did you know the same is true spiritually speaking? If we're going to have some spiritual fruit for the glory of God, it takes spiritual W-O-R-K work. Now, he enables us and empowers us to do that by his Spirit. And yet, we've got to get in harness with the Spirit of God so that when God speaks, we're in a place that says, God, I want you to speak to me. Lord, when you speak, I'm willing to obey. And I don't want to just obey for a couple of days. I want this to be a change of life and direction and a habit of pleasing you with what I say and what I do. You've got to have a resolved heart. So I got a question for you this morning. What type of soil have you been? Have you been a wayside soil listener? Just harden your heart to God's word? It doesn't seem to take root there because you've become callous to truth? Is it possible that you become a stony soil listener? You hear it, you get excited about it, but you don't actually do it? Are you a thorny soil listener, just so distracted with other things that God's word doesn't take root in your heart and life? Better question. What type of soil will you be? Will you purpose by God's grace to say, Lord, I want to be a good ground hearer. I want to hear from you. I want to get the most out of every message. I want to be receptive. I want to be responsive. And by your grace and for your glory, I want to be resolved to living out the truth of God's word. You know, if you'll have a receptive heart and a responsive heart and a resolved heart, you can get the most out of every message. You can learn to listen to God. Lord, thank you for the moments we've had in the Sunday school hour to look into your word. We pray for the service that will follow, that you would do your work in our hearts and our lives. May we come as good ground hearers. May we be receptive and responsive and resolved. If there's one that's joined us today that doesn't know Christ, we pray that today would be the day of their salvation. We'll praise you for what you do this week. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I think you got a few minutes break, and we'll see you back here shortly.